Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week, we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouke Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. Yeah, welcome again to another show of Banking Reinvented. And this episode, I'm being joined by Roland Boye. Roland is our general manager of ecosystems here at Backbase, but he has a pretty long run already in banking. So maybe without further ado, Roland, can you give a bit of a background on how you've come to the position you are in today?
Yeah, sure. So let me start off with my passion. My passion is to combine technology with banking. And I've been doing so for quite a while, for the last 19 years already. And I started off my career at ABN AMRO, a very large Dutch bank, where I hit the first 10 years of my career. I worked in the IT organization from global trading to accounting to wealth management until I think I found my real passion afterwards. I moved to the digital space of ABN AMRO. So that's where I worked the last 7 years, ending up in the responsibility of setting up, launching new fintech propositions for the bank, owning the main flagship app, mobile banking app of ABN AMRO, the internet banking channels, but also launched the fintech investment fund for the bank. So that's what I did until 2 years back. I really needed a new challenge, and I found that at Backbase, doing the same activities I did with ABN AMRO, but now on a global scale, from doing and building a solution and a proposition within the bank towards a platform that can be rolled out towards many banks around the globe, which I felt like a new challenge of my existing working.
Yeah, and a big one. Yeah. I know you as a very humble guy. So just for the Dutchies to know, Roland was involved, if not one of the founding team members of Tikkie. Tikkie is very similar to any type of national send me a payment link applications.
And Venmo in the US.
Venmo being an example indeed. Yeah, especially for the US listeners. And I think that experience has really brought you to a very well-rounded, seasoned banking leader that is now bringing this to life in Backbase, which we can indeed roll out globally. Nevertheless, good to have you on the show. We're going to dive into a specific topic for today, which is integrations. But before we go there, Roland, is there a highlight of the last few weeks that you feel is good to bring to the table for the audience?
Yeah, I think the most actual topic is we're now in the first week of August for the people listening in later. But I think the biggest news fact of this week is definitely the, let's call it the market dip that we're all encountering on the stock market right now.
Yeah, the market dip. We're not going to properly be able to detail it out here in the podcast. There's certainly a dip. Everyone who's a little bit active in trading or perhaps has a few index funds that are being monitored by yourself daily, most likely right now. There's been a serious dip in the market. Let's see if it recovers. But nevertheless, maybe, Roland, how is it relevant to the ecosystem of Backbase and where we play in the engagement layer?
Yeah, so I think that what we see and what would surprise me, owning many banking apps myself, of course, I'm a crack, I'm a professional in the market, and I want to see many of the solutions that are available right now. And at this big dip, my pure expectation as a client would be that those banks would start talking with me about that topic, having digital conversation, show me insights, give me recommendations what to do. But no single of those apps have actually sent me any notification, a news article, try to assist me in here. So that really surprised me.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've encountered the same, let's say, no engagement from any of the investment applications or platforms that I utilize. So interestingly enough, you're actually consuming the news via other outlets, and that's going to inform your decisions. Whether you remain, you hold, you just remain calm, or you indeed make a decision to liquidate even more, which might be a very poor decision.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which typically it is, right? We know the deal there.
Yeah, so now you just end up looking at those red screens, those bars going down proactively. But I think it's a missed chance and a missed opportunity to take this moment and create a valuable moment in the relationship between a bank and a consumer in the engagement channels of the bank.
Yeah, to properly explain it, why did it start? What were the different fact-based moments in time where certain indexes got hit and then it all resonated through the media and other, let's say, outlets where people consume their news and hence also start acting? But nevertheless, very fair point. So indeed, the engagement is not there. We will certainly cover this more often in the podcast.
Yeah.
Now let's move to the main dish of the episode, which is integrations. And maybe to set the stage a little bit before we kick off, Roland, if we speak about integrations, we're really talking about all the systems and capabilities you will need to bring together to power your digital channels, to power any of your touch points, to power your API strategy, which also is a channel. That work on its own is already a very large-scale effort to properly bring to life. And over the past decade, as Backbase, we've seen all this work that needs to happen on a typical implementation being substantial and even hard to productize to a degree, because it is just very custom and very specific by nature to the individual institution we would work with. Now, the discussion for today is first about, let's understand the integration complexity. Why is it there? Let's unpack that a bit. And then we're going to move to how can we actually do better? And how can we find a lesser high investment ticket to get our integrations into shape for the future? So maybe with that as the overall theme for the episode, let's start, Roland, with your own experience, because you've seen this yourself firsthand in the bank you are working at.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we just look at some markets fact, how big this issue is, because I don't think that people realize the significance of the cost, energy, agility loss that people have in their own organizations due to integration complexity. Actually, I found out later in my career what the sheer impact was on my organization, and also one of the reasons I decided to join Backbase. So we just look at some market facts. The American Banker in 2021 researched the core issue why core bank modernization programs were actually failing. Number one issue is actually integrations with internal and external systems. Gartner, having another very significant insight in the market. And I was quite shocked when I heard this number, that 60 cents of every IT dollar in the industry, not only ours, but across industries, is being spent on integrations. I was fearing that it was my own bank, the issues in my own departments that was causing the high spend of integrations, but it's a universal issue that we all face. And these costs are very often deeply hidden in the organization. You just don't see them. There's no specific team working on the integration, so you can isolate and see that. These are hidden. So at my own ABN AMRO time, I just spotted that of my team, 70% of all the integration and orchestration activities consumed that 70% of the team's energy. So that's the time not spent on value creation activities for the end consumer or commercial value for the organization. It's just utter waste. And I think that's one of my biggest beliefs over here, my reasons to work over here. We as industry should get rid of this waste.
It's pretty alarming.
Yeah.
60 cents of every dollar invested as a universal statement, right? So not even just to the IT landscape and banking, but overall is spent on integrations. Now, in banking, that complexity is just there by nature, because you do have all of these different systems that have a purpose. You have a core banking system, you have a payments processing layer, you have all these different elements into the mix that, you just have to consume, you have to bring them together.
Yeah,
maybe you could give a bit of the landscape, Roland. What do you typically need to integrate to actually drive value for an end user or for the employee? What does that look like?
Yeah, so if we look to the, because a bank is rather large, so we have also the finance and the risk departments. But if we now take a digital proposition as the center point of this conversation, then it needs connectivity towards a core bank. It needs connectivity towards a payment hub, a CRM, and many fintechs. On average, what we see at our clients, that a bank or an FI on average connects towards 9.4 fintechs. So there's a sheer number of integrations to be made towards a digital engagement platform.
That 9.4 is just the fintechs.
Just the fintechs.
Let's be complete, because then that is just on top of the standard systems that are always there. And I recall out of my days being in the field with the actual customers of the likes of Backbase, you would find that they will be at the very least integrating 20 to 30 systems on average, if not more, assuming the institution has been around for longer or has maybe done acquisitions. You can get into the 50s, 60s, if not more. Meaning you're looking at a very significant number of integrations that all have a different technology, that all have a different way of exposing their data, that have different maturity cycles of their APIs. It's just, if I may, it's quite messy, most likely in the day-to-day of the technology leadership of the bank.
Yeah. And that's causing, this issue is causing that banks are losing the flexibility. So they are tied towards partners and solutions that they decided 10 years back that it was an excellent partner, but lost their edge long way back. But it's almost impossible to move away from them anymore, or the increased complexity in the organization, making new changes super cumbersome and long lasting. And in the end, the impact on budgets. In my personal experience, the larger part of the budgets were not spent on new innovations for clients or new innovation on commercial value for the organization. Those integration costs were consuming the larger part, and the maintaining those, consuming the larger part of budgets on the banks. You are actually getting in a kind of vicious cycle downwards that every year more and more money was being spent on maintaining all those different integrations in your landscape. And that is, you can maintain that 1 year, two years, but then afterwards you're just hitting a rock bottom and getting stuck.
Now, you've been in this position, even though you didn't have the full visibility that there was 60, 70% being spent on the integrations and the integration maintenance. What is the challenge of doing significantly better?
I think that the first element is realizing this. So for me, I only realized this after a quite impactful a moment in my career when I was launching a new fintech company, a wealth management solution. And I spent two and a half years with my teams getting different fintech companies, core banking solutions, engagement layers tied together in order to start a new trading company in the Netherlands. And we succeeded in it after 2.5 years, only to fail few months after going live, discovering that our product market fit was not correct. And it felt unfair at that moment. It felt really unfair that we had to stop the initiative. But in hindsight, the issue was not that we failed after discovering not having a right product market fit. That's the nature of the game. The real issue is that we spent 2.5 years of effort spending time integrating all those solutions together. So that's what my big realization moment in my career when I look back, like, hey, this is not only happening in this value proposition that we are launching. This is happening in my bigger department and in other departments, all those hidden costs. So I think the first element is realizing this, because only when you realize this, of course, you can act upon it. And I think when you have realized this, then having the right integration strategy is absolutely key. So much waste in point-to-point integrations going from one place to another. Different teams in the enterprise taking different decisions without a coherent integration strategy across the enterprise. I think that is the second element. So what's your integration strategy? And the third element is executing on that integration strategy. So what solution architecture, what products are you choosing as company that will realize the vision that you have created in step two in your integration strategy?
Now, the first one is interesting, that you need to start with the realization and reflection that you do have this problem. And perhaps also connected to that, that you should be interested in fixing this.
Yeah.
In saving yourself from the hassle of just dragging on that type of legacy many years into the future. What would you say, Roland, is the logical trigger to wake up one day and say, enough is enough. We're going to address this now once and for all, or at least we're going to make this substantially better so that we can reallocate our capacity, our budget, our time available to other initiatives. What's the trigger?
I think that the trigger is often, in my view, and when I speak to other banking leaders, the realization that every year your change budgets are being migrated towards the run side of the bank, maintaining those old solutions. So often, realizing is, why have I got this enormous millions of dollars or euros or whether currency you work in, but significant amounts of spend of the bank are being allocated to an IT department. Then often banking leaders see, okay, what is now the output of that spend? And that's more often than not a disappointing realization. why do I spend these enormous figures and only get back this return in value toward customers or towards the organization?
Yeah. So it seems like there's a complete mismatch. And especially when you take change budgets, you bring those to the run budgets, it literally implies we're going to settle for the status quo. This is just the status quo now. And we're actually diminishing potentially even the change budget that we should allocate to an effort to fix this.
Yeah.
Now, I guess we understand the problem space, the pain points that you've seen in your own background, but also going forward now working with dozens of banks. How to then proceed? So we've realized this. We understand we need to make a change and there's a business case behind it. Let's assume there's an opportunity to shave off half of the cost of investment to run and keep on maintaining these different integrations. Means you get to the second point, having an integration strategy.
Yeah.
Could you perhaps unpack for the audience, what does that mean? What is an integration strategy and what does look like?
So I think that there are a few elements that come across in an integration strategy. The first one is, how do you govern and organize yourself? How do you give a mandate to your architecture group to, over the different teams that you have in an organization, decide like, this is the way how we are creating integrations from one system towards the other, whether it's an internal integration you have to make or towards an external integration on a SaaS-based solution or your core banking solution running in the cloud. I think that's very pivotal over there. So how do you organize yourself? How do you give mandates to a certain group of people to select for the whole enterprise how you're going to solve this issue? The next element is, what is the tooling kit that you will be using? I see many banks, because integrations are not a new problem, right? So from the 90s, we have our enterprise service buses, and many banks have already spent millions and millions of euros and dollars on their enterprise service buses to create an integration framework between the different systems they had within the enterprise. But in the afterwards, the cloud came in, you saw different architectural patterns arising. So we have digital transformation actually running the move towards microservice architectures for agility, reliability, and scalability reasons. And that same cloud also made sure that many more SaaS-based solutions start appearing. And suddenly the ESB solution that were fit for an internal integration architecture within the bank were not fitting anymore. And that is the rise of the IPaaS systems. So integration platform as a service started rising, solving those issues with API management capabilities in there and supporting those type of integration patterns that are more related towards microservice service architectures.
So if I hear you correctly, Roland, basically the notion of the enterprise service bus is almost dead on arrival in a cloud native world.
Yeah.
Because you're basically seeing all these different types of SaaS capabilities you would like to bring together, which
not working.
The ESB is simply not designed for. Correct?
Not designed for, yeah.
Now, they could still coexist because an ESB might still have sufficient value given that it's tying everything together, at least internally.
Yeah.
I would also say that the introduction of proper cloud deployments has introduced the capabilities of an API gateway or an API management layer, where at least the exposure of the APIs was done through the cloud and you could consume it into different channel applications. But that's not sufficient to really solve the integration issue, if I hear you correctly.
No, it's not about only the API gateway and the API management layer that people have. So also the integration platform and the combination of your integration platform and your API management platform combined is an integration platform as a service if it's running on the cloud. And it's not the case that you need to go from a big bang from one system to the other. If your own internal systems are running reliable on that old ESB, I would also say keep it up and running for a while. But you need to invest also in towards those other areas for your new and modern workloads. And I think the third wave, what we saw arriving after the IPaaS systems, and that's the most current wave that I think we are now at, that are the vertical IPaaS solutions. So IPaaS solutions are bringing you brick and mortar for you to, on a modern way, build those integration patterns in your enterprise. But then giving you golden samples for how to connect towards an Oracle database or how to create an REST-based API connection towards another system. But then in the next wave of IPaaS systems, they are bringing a more industry solution set to the table. So in different industries, you now see solution sets coming up that not only say, I got an IPaaS platform for you, but also bring in a productized set of connectors towards the most popular players in that specific industry.
So there's a whole wave where essentially you're saying that the platform level technology is there. It's called an integration platform as a service. It's fully cloud native. Perhaps we can explain in a bit more detail how these integrations actually come to life, because I would imagine they are available in that cloud deployment as standalone units that you can effectively scale up as needed. But you're also saying that the IPaaS on its own is not the full answer, because you still need to do all the integration work, which is still a heavy lift. It will not get you the full saving, most likely. Is that the right understanding?
So I think the IPaaS platform is giving you the brick and mortar tools to make integrations on an efficient way. But still, one bank is making that set of integrations. The next bank is making that set of integrations. The next FI is making that set of integrations. And if you then take that holistic view again, you're just wondering, why is everyone spending that same amount of energy making a connector for something that in the end is not differentiating yourself from your competition? So again, that would be an investment away from client value, a plain vanilla, not differentiating investment compared towards your competition. So my view, again, waste. So that's my strong recommendation would also be, if you are migrating and taking a view on your integration strategy, also think about not only on the modern tools of an IPaaS platform, but also select that IPaaS player that has a big investment in the industry that you're actually working in.
Yeah. Now, for the integrations themselves, Roland, even if you do not go into a vertical IPaaS solution, which has basically day one value already, can you tell me a little bit more about the pattern that you see in the industry evolving now? How do these integrations now come to life compared to the old days?
So what I just said, what these modern third wave players often have their marketplaces set up, where you can actually see and assess which type of integrations, which type of connectors do they already have to make your assessment on which party to choose.
Then zooming out for a second, we basically discussed the trajectory in the market where the problem has always been there. It will also never go away. You have the integration challenge almost by design in banking. I think that started with, okay, let's have that reality check. That's just the situation, and that you are overspending on maintaining those integrations. And also you're continuously going to keep spending when you bring on new technologies and you bring that into your integration mix. It's just a very heavy bloated architecture is going to get worse over time. And the first point you made is, if you realize it and you want to work against a solution, then the second part is have an opinionated integration strategy that will really bring you to the future. And if I wrap this conversation up correctly, then you're basically saying go for an integration platform as a service solution. And there's many vendors out there that have this technology available, rather vanilla, more horizontal, as you would say it in the vendor landscape. And consider to look at a player which is more of a verticalized approach or a vertical IPaaS player to a specific industry, where, of course, needless to say, Backbase is following that trajectory where we're bringing both the integration platform as a service capability as well as out-of-the-box connectors and integration patterns to the table so that you can go way faster.
Yeah.
Also because you see more than 100 banks doing a lot of overlapping work. So we made the decision to specifically invest in that domain and just break into the market with a highly differentiating solution set, which every bank has top of mind because they all face the same issue. They're spending 60 cents on the dollar on the integration challenge that they have. Yep. Now, it's never going to become zero. Let's also be very clear and explicit there. It will never become zero.
Yeah.
But what could it become, Roland? What does great look like if you move all the way into this paradigm?
Yeah, if we compare that, we can easily reduce 60, 70% of the energy normally spent on maintaining bespoke integrations towards these solutions. And I think that is tremendous. It will indeed, you're fully right. And it's no magic wand. You cannot take the integration effort away for 100%. But with the investments that you're making in towards this space of having those pre-built connectors, that I think also something that we haven't touched upon that yet is the unified data layer. I think that's something interesting also to touch upon, because if you now have that connectivity set up with those different parties, your CRM player, your core banking player, and you maybe have having some different parties over there, everyone is talking a different language. The classic biblic story of the Tower of Babel. All the parties are doomed speaking a different language, not getting together and not able to develop their city and their tower even further. I think what these third wave capability or third wave players are actually doing quite well, they are unifying those data models towards one unified language. And that's also something we are doing in Backbase together with Buy-In, the Banking Industry Architecture Network. I think the largest cooperative initiative I've seen in the industry of many banks working together to avoid of every bank and every ISV spending time on designing how does a party ID, how does a party look like? How should my data model around a transaction look like? Bringing that together, creating a standard. And what we are doing within Backbase is actually tying all the solutions together, having all those different languages that those different solutions speak, and tying to back together towards one unified data model and one unified API model. I think that's mega important for the future. Also keeping in mind that it's an, I would say, fuel for many of the other solutions in your bank.
100%. A very important addition indeed. I would even argue that if you have to go and build out that capability yourself, leveraging the Buy-In standard and aligning your complete strategy against, that's quite on itself already a complicated piece of work. So I think also there, the whole vertical iPaaS solution set that is out there is helpful to the degree that that work has already been done for you.
Yeah.
And the opportunity is out there for you to consume that and then start building value on top. Meaning you can really focus your energy on the stuff that sets you apart. That's just one thing I really wanted to highlight from what you just shared, Roland, that stop reinventing the wheel, stop delivering overlapping capabilities, really focus the time and energy and talent that you have and the headcount investment that you put towards it to delivering differentiating and outstanding value for your institution. And if you can optimize that investment rightfully, you're going to get way more agility and impact on your actual P&L, because you're going to be able to go faster with your bank, to innovate, to pivot, to deliver value propositions that are just way more meaningful, because you're not basically having 60 to 70% of your people focused on the plumbing and the basics and the commodity part of the technology stack.
Correct.
With that, I would say let's wrap things up for this week. I think if we zoom out and we start with the essence of what we discussed here just now, Roland, is that the cost of integration is just insane. And it's glaringly out there. It is super clear. There's many research firms that have done proper research towards getting the numbers. And let's say the 60 to 70% that's being spent of the total budget on integrations, on maintaining that complexity and introducing new integrations is, let's say, suboptimal. I could use stronger language here, but it is clearly suboptimal.
Yeah.
Now, as the discussion flowed, Roland, we discussed that you can get out of this, and the reality will be these integrations will always be there. But if you keep executing in the old model, that cost will only balloon and your talent will just be busy with stuff that's actually not that meaningful to the actual business of the bank. So the view that we discussed here today, or the philosophy that you could consider in any of your seats or any of your positions that you are having in the bank, could be to consider an IPaaS, an integration platform as a service, which would be a cloud-native approach to delivering integrations in an industrialized best practice. And with that, you effectively make it way lower threshold to deliver your integrations, to manage and maintain them in a best practice fashion, and to actually scale it out with less overhead and less complexity. That already is the starting position. That capability is out there. You can consume it. There's many options and flavors out there in the market. And the final part that we discuss is that there are vertical integration platforms as a service available. Backbase is bringing one to market. That is Grand Central. That is part of Roland's portfolio. You can find more information on backbase.com, but effectively, if you review it, just see it as another pattern that is possible to go faster with real ROI, because on day one, you already have the majority of integrations that you would look at anyhow available for you to consume and accelerate the work. That is a vertical IPaaS example, but still you can go very much horizontal and make the shift from there. The other part that we discussed was, once you realize that this is an issue for the bank, the second step would be to actually define your integration strategy. Introduce the right governance around your integration patterns, the do's and don'ts that need to be upheld to ensure that you can scale across the organization. So it's really about the governance part and the mandate of how you can build integrations and bring them to life while maintaining them with the least amount of overhead possible. And then thirdly, once you start executing, do this on the right technology stack. Choose wisely. Go for the IPaaS approach, so cloud-native integration patterns, and integration platform as a service. And do not forget, or at least be aware, that there is an option to go for a vertical IPaaS that is specific to your industry and already takes care of the majority of integration patterns you would need to go after anyhow, and that is already leveraging standards like BIAN, as was shared by Roland. Those flavors are out there. We shared and compared notes mostly on it here today, Roland. It was very insightful. But before you wrap up, anything you would like to highlight or once more clarify towards the audience when it relates to the integration challenge in banking?
No, so as you just said, so you are set in your first recap point, Tim, that you might be able to use stronger language. And maybe let me do that. Because if banking leaders are realizing the sheer amount of energy, money spent of integrations, and it's a hidden cost. So you need a little bit of help on how to get it clear and in the open. But on the moment you realize that, I think we as leaders in the industry, we have a responsibility to actually solve that, to make sure that the time and energy spent of all the employees are actually put to proper use towards the clients we have, delivering them great digital solutions. So I think it's really a responsibility thing for us as banking leaders.
With that, we're going to wrap up the episode. Roland, thank you so much for joining. Thanks for sharing your insight. And I'm definitely looking forward to host you in the episodes a few more times to dive even deeper into this domain. But for now, I would say have a wonderful afternoon.
Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jouk and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.